Wake-up call on WTLS continues. Coach Mike Battle's in here to talk about what's happening with the program, and we talked a little bit about what our prospects are of kicking off the 100th season this fall, and now we'll talk about what's happened over the past 99 seasons. And, Coach, you've had a part of that. Your ninth year coming up here at Tanalcee, and there's been some good years. I want to mention this, that you are now the second-longest tenured coach in the history of Tanalcee football. The number one is Coach John Edward O'Brien, known as Hot, and his name's on the stadium. So congratulations.
Hey, I'm glad they've kept me around this long.
It is something, you know, and I've talked to many people. We had Coach Jones on here a few weeks ago. He worked with you some himself. He's a former coach and a head coach as well at Tanalcee. And he said, you know, that's one of the big things about the program now is we have some continuity, which hasn't been here. We've had so many different coaches that have come and gone in a short span. So what is it that's kept you here and happy? And I know you got your kids coming up through the program now going on 9 years.
You know, the biggest thing is this is a wonderful place. The kids are great. You know, that's first and foremost. And it's all, you know, you hear people say, well, good fit. It just worked out that my personality and kind of the way that I and we like to do things fits here. And the kids seem to like it. They've responded. They've, you know, and we love this town. I mean, my wife loves working at the elementary school. My kids, you know, Thomas is going to graduate from Tallahassee High School. Mason's an eighth grader. You know, they were all, I think, well, 8 years ago, I guess he would have been in fourth grade when we got here. So, you know, time flies when you're having fun. But, you know, it's just a great place. We've got a lot of great people here. I've made a lot of lifelong friends. You know, coaching is one of those things that if you're fortunate enough to stay in a place this long, you've been very fortunate. You're very lucky. And so, you know, I think that's made a big deal. You know, hopefully people feel like, you know, we've done a pretty good job. I've had a lot of help. I've had a lot of people that have done a lot of things for our athletics, not just in football, but everything. And, you know, it's just a good place. You know, I remember in 2012 when I was still at Bibb County and the job came open, you know, I called Mark Rose.
Yeah.
He's the only guy I knew that really had a tie. And I've known Coach Rose a long time. And I called Mark and I said, you know, what do you think? He said, well, I'll tell you what. If you're fortunate enough to get the job, you won't regret it. If you know, they're just good people. And he told the truth.
Yeah.
And so I've been very lucky.
You entered 24 years as a head coach this year. You had 11 years at Oak Grove, your first head coaching job, then the Bibb County job for four, now Tanalcee going on your ninth season. So it's not like you jumped around a lot, but coaches, you know, when the opportunities come, a lot of times we'll go and take what's best for them. Have there been opportunities for you since you've been here? I'm sure you probably had some sniffs from other places.
Well, you know, I'm not going to lie. You know, there's been some, but, you know, you have to look at, you know, all, it's not just the coaching. Look at where you live, look at the town, the people, the kids, all that stuff. You know, and to be honest with you, you know, I could see, and of course, you know, coaches get to leave on two times, when they want to or when you want me to, you know. And so that's always been a joke. But, you know, hey, I could see us staying here for the rest of my career, whatever that means. You know, Lord willing, who knows what that means. But, you know, I've just been lucky. It's tough nowadays to stay at a place and, you know, have continued success and, you know, in coaching, because that's just, you know, you look at it. I mean, they jump around left and right. You know, it's not, you know, my dad, he coached in three different states. I've been all over the South.
Yeah.
And so, you know, just been lucky.
And your dad, he coached a lot of years. According to this, is 44 years right? I know he was just
47 years.
47
total.
Including the states outside of Alabama. So he was inducted in the Hall of Fame here recently.
Right.
What was it like coming up in a coaching family with your dad being, you know, in all these different places?
You know, well, I guess if I'd have been in another family at a different time, I would have I could probably give you, but I never knew anything different.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I can load up a U-Haul and I can pack one just like that, because there's been times where we've moved and, you know, just came in the next day, I've taken another job. You know, I can remember us in Pascagoula, Mississippi, and him walking in and saying, all right, I've taken the job at Welborn, let's go. And we'd go out there, we'd load up and we're headed back to Anniston, Alabama, you know. So, you know, I've never known anything different. I think, if anything, it made it where I learned how to come in and make new friends and stuff, because I went to several different elementary schools. I went to, you know, and luckily once I got to high school at Welborn, Dad stayed there, and, you know, I was able to finish out my career there, which that's what was important for me with Thomas.
Yes.
That he gets to finish up, you know, with his friends and all that. But, you know, I've just never known anything different.
And I'm trying to remember what coach it was we've had on. We've had so many on here lately. One telling about when he went to see you, you saw your dad, and y'all used to, I might have been one of our assistant coaches.
Coach Autry.
It was Coach Autry. And he said, you were a little bitty kid, and you were up there with him, always with him.
He was coaching at Bacon High School in South Georgia, and they were playing dad's team, Irwin County. And he came over. I was 5 years old, and he came over to trade films. That's back when you had the 16-millimeter.
Yes.
You know that. And he came over to trade films, and he said, because when I got out, I introduced myself. I said, I'm Mike Battles Jr., because we rented his house when I first moved here.
Yeah.
We rented his house.
That's right.
And he said, well, I'm Frank Autry. He goes, I know you. I said, really? He goes, yeah, it's been a few years. But I was 5 years old running around the field house there at Irwin County High School, and he came in, and they, you know, he was an assistant there. So, yeah, it's, you know, it's a small world. Coaching's a fun world. It's a small world, you know, and to see things like that, I said, I've changed a little bit since then, but.
So go back to Walter Welborn when you were a player. You were an All-State player yourself. So talk about that time with your dad coaching and you playing.
Man, I get in tears. I'm sorry.
I don't blame you on that. Yeah.
It was, you know, some of the best times, your friends.
Yeah.
You really don't truly appreciate your playing days until they're gone and you look back. But, you know, it was just a great time in my life. Really was. We had great teams, played with a lot of great players. William McCain went on to Auburn. You know, just guys that, you know, still lifelong friends. We still stay in touch. But to be out there between those white lines, I mean, there's nothing like it. I'd do it again. I'd only be able to do it one play and then take five off because I'm out of shape. But
yeah.
I'd still, you know, if there was one time, if there was a four-year period in my life that I would go back and do again, that's the only one. I wouldn't go back and do all the other ones. But that four-year period from 9th to 12th grade, I would do that again just to play.
Walter Welborn and Anniston, and y'all had some pretty good years when you were a player, your dad is the coach. As a junior, you were an honorable mention defensive lineman place kicker for the Sports Writers Association and the Birmingham News. The very next year, you were All-State with both of those, one with the Birmingham News, as it listed here, All-State linebacker, and then place kicker with the Sports Writers Association first team. So you punted, you kicked, you played defense, linebacker. I guess you could do it all. So what were you better? Were you a straight on kicker first off?
Straight on kicker.
Because there weren't a whole lot of soccer style kickers back in 1989.
There wasn't. Jeremy Sewell was really the only one that I can remember. He was the kicker at Oxford. He was great. I still stay in touch with Jeremy. But there wasn't a lot of that. I was a square toed. I'm one of the few players probably that's ever played linebacker in a square-toed cleat.
Yes.
And I just wore it.
You wore it the whole time?
I wore it the whole time.
Never went over to change it?
Yeah, I never came off the field.
Yeah.
You know, I played guard. I played tackle on offense.
How big were you?
I was, my senior year, I was about, they always listed me at 6 foot. I'm 5'10".
Yeah.
And about, you know, I was probably 215.
So there's some truth to the inflation of the numbers with the,
big
know.
Time. At Samford, my entire career, I was 6 foot, 230. In reality, I was about 5'10", about 245, 250.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, there, That's how it was. But you know, I was a coach's son. You know, I grew up in a field house.
Yeah.
I grew up cutting grass. I was cutting the football field at Irwin County High School when I was 5 years old on one of those old Yamaha lawnmowers that you do the you know.
I know what you're talking about.
You know what I'm talking about? You do it like that. I was cutting a football field when I was five. Dad and them were practicing on one end. I was cutting this end. Then when I got through with it, they'd move down and I'd go cut the other end.
As a 5 year old.
And so, yes, 5 years old. You know, I wouldn't get, I won't even let Thomas and them on.
I cut grass when I was a kid, about 7 or 8 years old, but I wouldn't let mine do it, no.
But, you know, it's just times have changed.
Yeah.
You know, and I grew up, you know, I spent more time in a field house probably in my young days than I did in a home.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I did, and I loved it. I mean, I've just always, everything about it. I grew up with all the players that my dad coached. I grew up with, you know, Little Mike.
And you talked about this with us having like our Tiger Night event every year, how the little kids are looking up to those, and you try to remind your guys of that because you did the same thing as a youngster yourself.
Man, when we'd play football out in the backyard or wherever, you know, I was not wanting to be like, you know, Tom Brady or Dak Prescott or whatever. I was wanting to be, you know, Jeff Giles, Stoney Diggs, Andy Wilson. Those were some players of my dad's back in the 80s that, you know, guys, you know, that's and I hope our kids appreciate that. You know, our kids, you know, kids are like that. You know, they want to be Casey Baines.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they want to be these different players that we've had along the way that have really made a name for themselves. And so, you know, and I think that's important. I think that's part of the hometown experience. I think that is important. And hopefully our kids appreciate that and carry themselves the right way.
A little more on your high school days. And you correct me if I'm wrong. I'm reading off the High School Football Historical Society site. But it's list you as a punter, senior, Alabama-Mississippi All-Star game. You played as a punter in that game, correct?
Played at that and linebacker tight end.
You did get to play other positions in that game. Okay, listed as a punter. Place kicker, 5A player of the year, listed as a punter and kicker. So you were the 5A player of the year at that.
It was a down year for athletes, I believe.
Okay. It's it's a big time honor to be the player of the year in the classification as you were in 1989 senior year. Then it lists you as a Super 12 player as a linebacker. So that's only the top 12 players in the state. So pretty nice accolades for a senior football player at Walter Welborn High School in Anniston your senior season.
Well, what I'll say is, you know, that year there wasn't that many athletes, I guess, and thing. Now, I was very fortunate. I had a great surrounding cast. Does that make sense?
Yes.
I had a great bunch of guys that I played with that made me look a lot better than I was. And, you know, I was just very fortunate. I came along at a good time, got to play, you know, at that time, Calhoun County. You know, if you were going to win the state in 5A or 6A, you had to come through Calhoun County because we had Oxford and Anniston.
Right.
And we played both of them. And, you know, the only team I lost to my junior and senior year was Oxford.
Right.
Lost to them twice, both years. Lost in the regular season. We were both ranked number 1 and 2 and then lost to them in the quarterfinals. The next year, we lost to Anniston the first game, who won the state and went 15-0, and then we lost to Oxford twice. And so, you know, I got to play some good football. Got to play against, you know, at that time, two of the best teams in the state, or if not, the two best teams in the state in each classification. And so, you know, we didn't have Hoover then. And we didn't have, you know, all those folks then. Then it was Anniston.
Right.
Then it was Oxford. We opened up with Anniston and we finished with Oxford.
It's a 5A program back when there were 6 classifications.
That's correct.
You were always ranked high in the poll and you always had a chance. And as you said, the roadblock was Oxford both years in your senior year and, of course, your junior year. And one of them was a 14-13 loss. The other was a 14-point.
I missed a 50-yard field goal the last play of the game in the 14-13 loss.
Really? Yeah. How close was it?
It was about a foot. It fell right under the crossbar.
You could kick a ball 50 yards then?
Yeah, obviously. I hit it the next day.
You went back out the next day to see if you could make it?
Yeah. I hit it the next day. But we got down the field, and I can remember it like it was yesterday. We had the third or fourth down, and we had about 9 yards to go, and we had William McCain. William was a 6'3", 245-pound linebacker tight end, and William just got in the huddle, and he said, "Throw it to me." And we ran the waggle pass, which is just a rollout, mm-hmm. tight end dragon. Well, he caught it. He got hit about 4 yards from the first down marker, and he just made it. Well, we're down to, 3 seconds left. It's on the 33-yard line. And so Dad just comes over there, grabs me, and says, let's go try it. I go out there, perfect snap, hit the ball dead center. I mean, it is, I'm sitting there watching. I'm like, oh, my gosh. And it just went, crossbar, and it went right below.
Felt good. You thought you had it.
Yeah.
Any nerves walking out there and having to kick the game winner, the chance of your season on the line here?
No, I was more nervous what my dad might do to me. So I was fine with that.
How did he respond to that?
Nothing you can do. Look, I had such a good – the bunch I played with at Welborn is a lot like what we have now.
Yeah.
They'll walk right up to you and say, hey, man, we shouldn't even been in this situation to start with. And the reason we were up 13-7 with 3 minutes left and have the ball on Oxford's 20-yard line driving in, and we fumbled the ball, and their linebacker picked it up and ran it back down to the 1 yard line, and then they scored.
Wow.
All right, it's over with.
And Oxford went on to win the state championship, beat Smith Station, and they did the same thing the very next year, knocked you out and beat Smith Station again.
Right.
So back-to-back titles that you could have had. I bet you think about that some still today, don't you? It's not something
Michael,
forget.
To be honest with you, I hadn't thought about it in a while till you brought it up.
I'm so sorry.
But no, it does. You go back and you look at, you think they're missed opportunities, but then you go back and think about what all it meant and the whole aspect of it. And, hey, I got to play in them.
Yeah.
It's like Terry Bradshaw. Terry Bradshaw gave all his Super Bowl rings, all of his jerseys and everything to Louisiana Tech. Hmm. And they've got it. When you walk into their football thing, there's a big glass case, and they have all that stuff. And they were asking Terry Bradshaw, I said, well, why would you give away all of these, priceless things? He said, look, I don't need them to remember. I played the games. I was in them.
Yeah.
I don't need a ring to tell me I won the Super Bowl. So it's like that.
You went on, as you mentioned, to play at Samford, played football up there. Talk about that experience. Terry Bowden was the coach there, and Chan Gailey after that. So what was that like?
Man, anytime you're fortunate enough to get to do what you love and get to do it 4 more extra years, got a great education. They're still trying to figure out how I graduated from there, to be honest with you. Got to play for Terry Bowden. There's two things I learned. One from each coach. Terry Bowden, we were doing what people do now back in 90, 91, 92, 93. The 5-minute periods, the organized practices. We did not waste a moment at a Terry Bowden practice. Everything was orchestrated. We had a horn going off every 5 minutes. You may be in this period, this, and doing this. As organized as anything I've ever been around. When my dad came and watched me practice one day, he said, I've never seen anything like it, very organized. Chan Gailey was coming off when he got there my senior year. He was coming off having coached the Denver Broncos in 4 Super Bowls. Huh. I think it was 4. Didn't they lose 4?
It might have been 3.
Or 3, however many.
Before John Elway finally won one later,
However many it was, 3 or 4, AFC championships, Super Bowls. The thing about Coach Gailey is that he was really what you would call a player's coach. The first thing he did in this really set the tone and really, kind of gave me a lot of respect as he set up 15-minute meetings with each player. You'd sign up outside his door. And when I went in there, he's got this big desk and got all these rings and everything. He didn't. He sat just like me and Trey are sitting right now. We never talked about football. He says, what you want to do with your life? What you want to do? What do you see? Your education, how do you feel about this? And we talked for 15 minutes, never once mentioned, hey, what position you play, that kind of stuff. That really, affected me in the way of how I felt about him. But he was a player's coach. I mean, he handled, we were dealt with on a professional way. The things when there were big decisions, just like they do in the NFL, it was, it was the players' decisions. He would get the seniors together and ask them about it and see how they felt and, whatever was going on. So, I just – that was 2 good ones. I mean, I learned a lot from both of them. You know,
the tutelage that you had, think about it, growing up in a family where your dad's a coach all the way through your days as a player and obviously as a youngster, and then getting Terry Bowden and Chan Gailey. I mean, it probably set you up for what you're going to do. Did you know you were going to be a coach? You obviously got your degree and was biology, science and biology. And is that what you're thinking? I'm going to teach and I'm going to coach.
Early on, probably my freshman year, I went into marine biology, to be honest with you. I've always been, you know, I've always enjoyed the ocean. I don't know too many people that don't, but anyway, but it didn't take me long. I really think when it stuck is, you know, when I played four straight years, but it took me five to graduate. Okay. And, about that third year, I was going out sometimes in the spring and helping my dad. He was at Hueytown at that time. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, I just got the bug. And then I knew, I mean, from then on, I knew what I was going to do and I hadn't stopped. You know, I get up. I look forward to it every day. I mean, I always know, and like my dad always said, you'll know when it's time. You'll know when it's time to retire, because we used to have a running thing where on the first day of two-a-days, we would call each other to see who was up first. I mean, you know, that kind of deal right there, that kind of fun stuff, you know. And I was lucky. I've been very lucky in the fact that what I chose to do and what I love are the same thing.
Yeah. He put 47 years in. He finally decided it was time,
I guess. If they called him tomorrow,
he would go back.
In a heartbeat. That's what my mom's scared of. I mean, my mom will tell you she has really, you know, she's enjoyed him being around and being retired.
Yeah.
And he's played a lot of golf. They got a little golf club there in Roanoke and, you know, in a country club. And he's played golf and, you know, gets to spend time with her. But, you know, she knows right now that if a school called, he'd be gone in a heartbeat because, you know, he's done it his whole life. And he doesn't know any other way.
Yeah.
I mean, he doesn't know any other way than getting up at 6 in the morning, going out there and coaching. He's at his best. I mean,
that's what they say about Nick Saban. When's he going to retire? Well, I guess he just loves it. I mean, that's his life. That's what he does. And who knows how much he loves
it. Well, everybody wants him to retire so they can start winning.
Exactly. Yes.
I mean, that's how it works.
Yeah. So when did you get your first job in coaching out of college? Where was that?
It was at Oak Grove High School. I was actually going to coach with my dad at Hueytown.
Yeah.
And they had a little issue. I think they call it nepotism. Yeah. Is that a word?
Mm-hmm.
Nepotism.
That's it.
And so it's 2 weeks before school starts. And the board alerted the principal there at Hueytown that they would not be able to hire me as a coach. And so very fortunate to me, right down the road was a little old school called Oak Grove.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy that was the principal then, his name is Dickie Atchison. Dickie Atchison is Bo Jackson's high school coach from McAdory.
Oh, really?
Yes. Well, he was the principal, and Dad knew him because they had played against, yeah, not played, they had coached against each other. Well, he called Mr. Atchison and said, you know, my son needs a job. Well, I went down, and my first coaching interview was at a fireworks stand in downtown Hueytown with Gene Rogers.
Fireworks.
Yes, because he did fireworks. He sold fireworks, and it was right there around that time. And so I went down there and I coached for a year, you know, at Oak Grove. Loved the place. I mean, had you know, just great people. Met some folks that are still lifelong friends of mine.
Yeah.
Well, then I leave there, and my dad takes the job at Gaucher High School, which is the new high school in Mississippi. They split Pascagoula and made Pascagoula and Gaucher. They're separated by the Pascagoula River.
All right.
But they used to be one.
Yeah.
Okay. So he takes the job at Gaucher. Well, I go down there. I'm going down there as one of his assistants. Well, I get moved into an apartment, get everything down there. They tell us, you can't coach with him.
Same thing. Nepotism.
So I coached at Pascagoula High School with a bunch of great guys, too. I mean,
so you're right there on the same thing.
Just right across crosstown rival.
Yeah.
And, you know, coached with those guys for a year. And Bill Matthews, that's Shane Matthews, played for the Bears in Florida and all that. His dad, that's who was our head coach. Got to see Shane, bunch of, you know, Terrell Buckley.
He would have been playing. Well, I guess he would have been playing college.
Then. He was in the NFL.
He was already done with Florida. Yeah. Okay.
That 87 team at Pascagoula that won the state championship had 9 guys signed Division I football. They had Shane Terrell Matthews Buckley, yeah. Shane Matthews, finished in the top 5 of the Heisman voting.
Right.
Both of them. But, you know, got to coach with a bunch of great people. Well, yeah, I was at Pascagoula for a year, and then it was really about 9 months. You know, I got down there in July, and in April, Coach Rogers retired from coaching and decided to become administration. And, of course, I got a phone call, and I went up and interviewed. And next thing you know, 10 months removed, I'm right back in Oak Grove, and then I was the head coach there for 11 years.
Yeah, so you had 2 as an assistant coach, and then you got the head coaching job at Oak Grove where you started as an assistant. And you had a pretty good first year there. I mean, they had struggled the year before, so talk about transitioning into the head coaching ranks.
Man, it just, you know, I didn't know nothing then. You know, if I knew what I knew, if I knew then what I know now,
right?
You know, we'd have been in trouble. But I didn't know anything. We had about 6 plays, and we practiced for about 4 hours a day. We'd run the same 6 plays, you know, over and over. You know, it was just, it was different. They won back then. They won in spite of me. They just won because they were good players, and it meant a lot to them, not because of any knowledge I had. You know, I've learned along the way, had good assistants. But, you know, we just practiced. We worked out. Things were different then. You know, we didn't have strength and conditioning coaches. You didn't have year-round programs. You know, it was basically, you know, back in 96, 97, you know, come August, you hand the pads out, go out and play football, take them up. They go do some other stuff. I'll see you in the spring. You know, that kind of stuff. It was nothing like now, but it was still fun. You know, and we had a good group. I can remember that first group of seniors, Bruce Shores, Rod Mills, Vinny Patoka, all those guys. You know, it was fun, but I wasn't much older than them. You know, the thing was is that, you know, now, and this is what is, I guess I've had to come to grips with, you know, I'm 49, and most of them are 41 and 42 now. They got families, you know, kids, everything. And I'm like, no, I'm not. I can't be that old. That can't have been that long ago. But yes, they all, you know, because I wasn't much older than them. But we all made it work. I mean, it was just fun. It was a fun time.
71 wins in 11 seasons there and some success. I mean, a lot of playoff years as well.
It was, you know, Oak Grove's one of those places that, you know, you got to coach and fight every day. You know, you're never going to walk on the field and the crowd's going to look and say, oh, we got them beat. No, they usually look down on the other end of the field and say, well, we're going to have a tough time with them. But our kids, they fought. They, you know, we had the 5'10", 185-pounders that ran the 4'9", 40, and 5'5". You know, that's what we had, and that's what we went with. And, you know, we tried to develop, you know, offensive and defensive game plans around that and be good on special teams. We won a lot of ball games punting on third down just to get out of, you know, we knew we weren't going to make the first down, so we'd punt and see what happens.
Yeah.
You know? And, you know, just you find out, you know, coaching when you have great athletes, you kind of get ruined sometimes on how to coach when you don't. And coaching at Oak Grove, you know, we had all the tricks in the book. I still have my playbooks that we had from there, and I look through them from time to time to come up with new ideas, stuff that, you know, things that we did back then that'll still work.
Yeah.
You know, that'll still work, even in this new spread and everybody's playing, you know, throwing it around 50 times a game. You know, there's still some stuff we did back in the day that, you know, still catch people off guard, and so we use it.
Bibb County, 4 years there, and incredible 46-6 record. And this is a 4A school just like Oak Grove was. Talk about the success you had there that led you to Tallahassee right after.
Man, those kids, wonderful. They were hungry. They, when I got there, you know, they were coming off a couple of, I guess, 5-5, 5-6. I don't know what their records were. But, you know, I went there, Dr. Elam, Don Elam, which if you remember, Brad Elam was came with me here. Yep. That was his dad. Met with him, and, you know, the kids were hungry, and we just had some tremendous athletes. You know, it never hurts that first year when you go in to have a NFL tailback. that always makes things. You're always a better coach in that situation. We had Zach Stacy.
Right.
And what's funny is Zach played on the team that won the fewest. We went 10-2 that year. And, you know, for the next 3 years, I mean, we just had, you know, we had, I want to say 14, 15 players signed. You know, we had Daheem Watkins, who was the defensive lineman of the year. Zach Stacy had Courtney and Cornelius Johnson, both of them signed with Tuskegee. Just had, you know, just unbelievable players. And, you know, coaches will tell you, hey, you know, we all like to think that we wrote the book on coaching. But if you got players, if you got those Jimmys and Joes, then your coaching looks a lot better. And we just had a lot of really good players, and they were really hungry. And, you know, we came two times we're within a play of probably winning the state championship. You know, at Jackson, they beat us that year, beat us 25-23, and we only gave up one offensive touchdown. And then when we played Thomasville in the semifinals, and they had a great team. They had the linebacker that went to Alabama. And, you know, we had a great game plan. And we go right out there and kick off, and they run the opening kickoff back for a touchdown. And then you already know, you know, you're in trouble. And we battled back in the second half and got close. And, you know, but they had a great team. They, you know, it's a I wouldn't trade those years. They were fun. Winning, it beats everything else.
No doubt. You 2010 Coach of the Year, Sports Writers Association, did lose to Thomasville, as you mentioned, who won the state championship, and then lost to Jackson the next year, who won the state championship in Class 4A. Kind of like, I guess, your junior and senior years, you lost to the team that won the title.
Well, now that you've mentioned it, yeah, again, something else that'll give me some anxiety.
Yeah. So, you'd
history
been so,
is repeating itself.
Yeah, that's right. You've been so successful at Bibb County, a good program. The Tallahassee job comes open. You mentioned you talked with Mark Rose. Is there, you know, it's a pretty good program there. You're interested in Tallahassee. What led you here? Was it just that conversation? Maybe wanting something new? What exactly draws you to another job when you're doing so well at one other place?
Well, we had some dynamics change. My principal, the guy that was there that hired me, Mr. Lee Van Fleet, he left. Dr. Elam was not reelected. You know, just the dynamics. You know, there was changes. And look, the people that are there are great.
Yeah.
You know, there's was nothing like that. But, you know, you have to learn, and I guess not just coaching, but anything, you have to learn of when to leave. You have to learn when it's time to maybe. And I was ready for, I think I really think looking back on my mindset, and of course it's been, you know, almost 9 years now, but I think I was ready for another challenge. I think I was ready. You know, I had a period where, you know, you have to be careful in coaching to not get complacent, to not just be happy how things are. The moment you start being happy how things are is the moment things start going downhill. You have to continue to push. You have to continue to improve, continue to try to, you know, get better. And so I think maybe during that time, you know, it was, you know, we won. Most of our games were over at halftime.
Yeah.
They were over at halftime.
Right.
You know, and so it's very important that you continue to, you know, do those things. And so, I think that maybe played in the mindset. But I tell you what, if I had it to do over again, I'd do it exactly the same way.
No regrets.
No regrets whatsoever.
Yeah. Six of the eight seasons here in Tallahassee, playoff seasons, some pretty good football teams here as well. You know, 4A ball at Oak Grove, 4A at Bibb County, which has moved up and down since then. But 4A ball when you came here, but we've been 4A and 5A. So talk about some of these years. The very first year comes to mind in 2012, you went 9-3, lost to Dora in that overtime game.
We didn't lose. They called it wrong.
Exactly.
Bad call.
What do you think might have happened if that had gone the other way? Because you were certainly one of the contenders.
You know, who knows? Dora, I think they went to the semis that year. I've known Johnny Wright, that coach up there, you know, and what he, you know, him and I talked after the game. You know, we beat Dora when I was Oak Grove going for two.
Really?
29-28. And same type of situation. Wasn't in overtime, but, you know, they had a good football team. If I remember, their quarterback was really special. He was tough. You know, Herman went down in that game right in the first quarter, and so we basically put everything on the shoulders of Dijon Pascal. We had a little, I guess what you'd call a wildcat package.
Right.
And, you know, Dijon kept us in the game. I think, what did we lose, 42-41?
41-40.
41-40. You know, but when we got down there and it was an overtime and, you know, they scored and then they kicked the extra point and then we scored. I think we scored like the first or second play. And, you know, it was never a no-brainer. You know, we were going for two.
Yeah.
And, you know, what might have happened, who knows? You know, what might have happened if Herman doesn't get hurt in the first quarter, you know, twist his ankle. You know, that's just one of those what-ifs. But, you know, I do remember that. I remember vividly Dr. Varner standing on the goal line. I'm looking out on the field, and Dijon, about from the waist up, is laying in the end zone. And the head official is about to raise his hands up, and then one runs over there, and he does that. And I'm, you know, things like that stick out to me. I can't remember what my wife told me last week, but I can remember that, you know.
Well, I remember the call, and I thought he scored, too. I think I did say he's in and jumped the call myself. So that team scored more points than any team in the history of Tallahassee football, 458 points that season. It was an explosive team. I mean, you really routed some teams throughout the season. Where does it rank up there as your time in Tallahassee? I know it was knocked out in the second round, but how good was that football team? A lot of talent.
You had Jed Carter, you had Dijon, you had Herman. You know, Brandon was an afterthought. You know, even though he turned out to be the state back of the year, you know, he was just the fullback. You know, had some good linemen, Jesse Rowland, you know, Brock Hammock, all those guys right there. It's hard to believe that was 8 years or nine. Has it been, I guess, 9 years?
This will be the ninth season since then.
So it's hard to believe it's been that long ago. These guys are 25 now, you know.
Yeah.
But it was just a great group to come into. You know, I've been very fortunate that when I've taken new jobs and come to places, when I went to Oak Grove, we had six seniors. I knew all of them because I'd coached them as 10th graders. But I'm talking about six of the best. It's like having 15 players because every one of them played everything. You know, when I went to Bibb County, of course, I didn't know anybody, but we had great players. I came here, same thing. You know, just walk in. The community, the players take you in. They're hungry. They're looking for some guidance, and then you give it to them, and then they go out there and make you look good. And, buddy, those guys, they really made us look like good coaches that first year because they did, you know, they were just good.
Next year, go 8-3. The following year, 8-4. First and second round exits. Had a losing season, the first one, I think, for you in a long time. In 2015, we went 5-6. We did make the playoffs. But the next year was the 9-4 season. That would be 2016. And got to the third round. And that's the farthest Tallahassee had been in a long time since 1999. He got beat by Andalusia, won the state championship. Talk about that team. That was a pretty solid bunch.
They were. That was, you know, that's when, let me think back. That's 2017, isn't it?
16.
2016. All right, that would have, okay, we beat St. James in the second round.
That's right.
Okay. That is when we knew that Casey Baines was going to be, you know, that season, and I can tell you the game when it was, and if y'all remember.
I know where you're going,
W.S. Neal. We're losing to W.S. Neal.
Right.
We get the ball on the 19-yard line with a minute and 21 seconds left and one time. Now, I don't know if we had one timeout or no timeouts. And Casey led us down the field in about five plays and jumped into the end zone on the last play of the game to win the game.
Yes.
That's when we knew that we had a leader. That's when we knew, you know, that we had something special. And, of course, he carried it out the rest of the year. You know, we went over to St. James. They had a heck of a team. They had that linebacker, Sterling Jones. Had several running backs, a really good tailback, receivers. And we went over there and lined up. And, you know, Sterling Jones got Casey and him hit head on in about the first quarter, and he never returned.
Mm-hmm.
And Casey played the rest of the game. And,
right.
You know,
we won 42-14, yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, just, you know, and just, you know, one of those nights. It was our night. Now, when we ran into Andalusia that next week,
yeah.
they rolled in with about 90 players, and I know Trent Taylor, he's a great football coach, but they had a really, really good team, and they overwhelmed us from the get-go.
That was an interesting thing because you beat Hanley that year, who ended up playing Andalusia next week, and they beat Hanley. Hanley beat Andalusia, right, and won the state championship that season. So you beat the state champion, but it just was not a matchup set up that worked for us against Andalusia.
Well, I always tell our kids, and this is the example I use about being in condition. I'm not real sure if we had played Hanley later in the season that we could have played with them. They were so, just physically dominant and such, good athletes and just folks all the way across the board. But we caught them week two, and we were in tremendous shape, and they were not. And so that gave us a shot. We had a chance to win the ball game. If you play them later on, I ran into the coach at Clay Central and the playoff meeting that year, the first round. Coach from Clay Central, and Hanley had beat them like 50-something to, six that Friday night.
Yeah.
And I just walked by because me and him had talked on the phone. He said, "They got in shape." And I was like, thank goodness we played them week two. Because,
things can change in about 10 weeks, can't they?
That's right. That's exactly right.
One thing about that year, and we'll kind of move on, but you started 4-0, but you lost three straight games. You lost to Munford, T.R. Miller, and Dadeville. And we were pretty much, you would think, out of the playoff picture. You go into Leeds. They'd won a couple of state championships in a row, and you go up there, and that turned the thing around again. You win 26-13, which got you an opportunity to go to the postseason, and then you made the nice run.
Well, if you remember those three games, I believe it was week 4, 5, and 6 or week 5, 6, and 7. I can't remember, but it was three games in a row. We turned the ball over 15 times in those three games.
Yeah.
We didn't turn it over 15 times in the previous 3 years.
Right.
And we turned it over those. And, once we decided we would hang on to the football and do that and went up there to Leeds and that was an interesting game I can remember because the crowd's on one side.
Yeah.
We're on the other side over there and everybody's on that side.
That's right.
And so we went up there and we had put in a special defense for that week, something unlike we had done, but we had to do it because they had tremendous speed at the corners. They had some receivers out there and they had really two that they'd put out on the same side, and man, either one of them could take a one-step hitch and take it 90 yards, So we had to put in some stuff, some special stuff, and I think it caught them by surprise. And, we were able to win the game, and I think that changed the outcome. Our kids were back, and you look back on that, and, the three games we lost, if we don't turn the ball over, we probably win all three of them.
Yeah.
But we, and each of them, we turned it over and gave, and of course they're against good opponents, but we did not help ourselves out. So, luckily we got it turned around.
The 2017 team had the best regular season of any of these teams. They went 9-1. They only lost to Munford at their place. Ended up winning on the last second kick against Thomasville in overtime with Quentin Jeter.
That's right.
And then you lost at Bibb County, your old school. So talk about that team overall.
Good. Casey was the quarterback. We had good players around him. But what I remember about them, I don't think they were the most talented bunch that we've had. But I tell you what, they played well together. It was a fun locker room. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
It was a fun locker room. It was fun at practice. You had Calvin Levitt. Calvin was going to be the heir apparent quarterback the next year. The play I remember from that was, playing Hanley, and we ran fake the punt. We're down there. It's 14-13. It's
right.
4th and 3 on about there, 45-yard line, and we ran the old – I'm not going to tell you the name because we yell it out. But we ran the fake punt, and Casey hit Calvin running down the sideline for a touchdown. They were a fun bunch. It's a fun locker room. It was fun to be around them. You always knew that no matter what, win or lose, you're going to get their best effort. Now, they're going to do the best they can. Then they're going to have fun doing it, and they're going to take care of each other. It was a great year. Winning that game when – when Quentin went in and kicked field goal against Thomasville, you know, and the excitement, the T.R. Miller win, that's probably
the biggest comeback Tattlesy's ever had, I think.
One of the games that I'll never forget for the rest of my life was going in at halftime. We're down 29-7. It wasn't what people expect. You know, people expect that I'm going to go in there and we're going to be yelling and, you know, getting on. I was very calm. I said very little at halftime. I got Coach Mask, Coach Justice, Coach Worley. I said, guys, y'all been in these games. Y'all been down here in Bruton, you know, and they talked to the team. I said very little, you know, and they talked to the team about, you know, pride and, you know, where we've been. And then all of a sudden we come back out there and the most improbable thing that would ever happen, probably never again in my coaching career, however God willing long it is, 3 onside kicks in a row. That don't happen.
Yeah.
I mean, that doesn't happen. You're lucky if you get one.
And 3 of them differently. Yeah, not the same old onside. They were all
over. It was a mistake, wasn't it?
One of them, look, Jake Burton is still the best there is at doing it. He kicked one sky high. We got the first one.
Yeah.
Then the next one, he bounces off somebody. We get it. And the third one, they lined up on the 45, 5 yards deep, and he just kicked it up there 10 and a half yards and ran up there and ran and got on it before they even knew what was going on.
Right.
But the one, the kick that made the whole game is after we, okay, it's 29, and I can't remember the score. We had scored 2 or 3 times, and they have everybody up there now. They have all 11 players within 10 yards of the kickoff ball. And Jake kicks a ball, and it goes dead stop on the 1-yard line. Their players are running back to get it. We tackle them on the 2. If y'all remember, they'd come out. They went for it on 4th down and 2 on about their 35-yard line. Quarterback fumbled the ball. We got it. We scored. And the last play of the game, Casey Baines knocked the pass down from the 8-yard line.
Yeah. And we did a thing on the biggest wins in your time a few years ago here at Tattlesy. And obviously that was on the list. The Quentin Jeter kick game was on the list.
Yeah.
I'm looking at, we mentioned Casey Baines and a little bit about Brandon. But Brandon was the back of the year. We talked about that. What was his best game? It's kind of tough to say because one of the games on the list was the win at Central of Clay County where he had the monster night, but he also did the same thing at Talladega. Yeah, I mean, he had some unbelievable – and he could have probably run for 500 yards if he played in the entire game, which, of course, you wouldn't do. But
I mean, Talladega, you know, they honored his grandfather.
Yeah.
You know, Ronnie that night. Ronnie was, I think he was a 3-sport letterman at Talladega.
Yep.
And they honored their team. I'm not sure what their team did. I'm sure they were great. But I think there were 5 or 6, him and 5 or 6 of his former teammates. And I guess, you know, I didn't realize it at the time, but we were playing against one of my high school buddies.
Yeah.
Robert Herring. Little Robert. Big Robert was the coach at Oxford. And on top of that, and I kind of told him before the game, you know, you got Robert as the head coach, Jeremy Sewell, the one I told you about that was a soccer-style kicker at Oxford at Allstate. He was one of the assistant coaches. And one of the officials was Jason Troop, the linebacker off that same team with all of them. So I just went out there before the game, and I handed Troop a dollar bill, and I said, hey, man, just try to keep it semi-fair. I mean, I know. Well, Robert tells the story, you know, Baines ran for like 400 yards, 390-something and some change, 5 touchdowns.
We got it as 396, I think. Which is the record for Tallahassee, I believe.
Yeah. Well, anyway, in the fourth quarter or third quarter, I can't remember. It was the last time Brandon took off and broke one for about who knows how many yards. Troops running down the sideline, and Robert's yelling, you know, hey, that's a clip. He tells the story. Troop turned around, looked at him, and said, it ain't going to change. It ain't going to make a difference. I can throw the flag or not.
That'll be a work.
Yeah. So, you know, those are just fun times, you know, things that you remember about certain instances and certain moments.
I got a question for you. Let me ask him a question. Did you ever play your father?
Twice.
What's the record on that?
The record on that, and this is how I like to put it, we played him when I was at Bibb twice in a spring game, and they weren't typical spring games. These were lineup. I mean, they were.
So they were games, but they were exhibitions, though.
They
weren't.
Yeah,
okay. But I got you.
It turns out my dad is about 7 points better a coach than I've ever been. Because the first time they beat us 21-14, the next time they beat us 21-14. And it was, the year we played them at Bibb when he came up there was the year they won the state. And we got beat by Jackson in the
playoffs.
Yeah, in the third round. Right. Jackson won the state in 4A. They were 3A at the time. And they won the state, and they came up, and I mean, it was as good a foot. I mean, you've never seen a spring game where folks are hitting like this because we had a good football team. They had a good football team. They had Brad Bozeman playing in the NFL right now. I mean, you know, just tremendous. But, yeah, he's about 7 points better always.
That's interesting. And you didn't really schedule him when you possibly could have. You just didn't want to do that?
We thought we were going to have to meet, you know, the year in 2010. No. 2009, we're playing Jackson in the third round. My dad's team is playing UMS Wright. Dad and them beat UMS Wright 13-10. We lost right at the end to Jackson. If not, we were going to meet them in the semifinals, and whoever wins is going to play my buddy Tripp from Cherokee County in the finals. Turns out Jackson beat both of us. And they played Tripp in the finals, and 4th-and-1 on the 49-yard line with 1.5 to go and up 4 points, Jackson goes for it, and tripping them, stop them. We were talking about it last night. I was on the phone with Coach Curry, and they stop them, and Cody Blanchard, who was Mr. Football, carries Cherokee County down, scores right there at the very end of the game, and Cherokee County wins the state championship.
Wow.
Otherwise, three guys that had all coached on the same staff were all fixing to have to get things settled. Luckily, Jackson took care of two of them.
Did you not want to do that because you could have scheduled each other? I think you talked about this before. Was it for your mother?
Mom.
That's what you said, yeah.
But I know where Mom would have sat. She'd have sat on Dad's side. I'm just going to tell you. I mean, she's told me that before. She goes, look, I love you, and you're a son, but now I'll be over there on Hanley's sideline.
I understand.
Now, great for us right now is I got both of them on my sideline.
I think we got a promo running with Vince Dooley's wife talking about that. You know, and she talks about how it's tougher when people are on you know, she kind of takes the knocks, I think is what she says, with Vince as he's the coach and she's his wife on his side. But when they were beating up Derek when he was at Tennessee, she said it was tougher for her. So I don't know. But I don't know who she would have rooted for if they played each other. But anyway.
My mom would have gave me a hug after the game.
Yeah.
But she'd have been happy, you know, if Dad and them would have won.
She'd have consoled you. Well, you know, one of the great endings, I guess, when we talk about all these games was the kick that Nick Mullins made at Charles Henderson and Troy. It was a long one, not as long as the 50-yarder you attempted. 45-yard field goal that won the game. How about that one?
You know, in that game, there was 59 seconds left. We got the ball on I want to say it was probably about the 30-yard line. And our mindset was, let's just make a first down. Let's run the clock out. We're going into overtime. It's 14-14. And then Herman bust one down the sideline. We ran box left, 38 stretch, and he takes off down the sideline, gets down there, I guess, on about their 48. We run two plays. They stop us. And then on third down, you know, clock's ticking down. Jed Carter drops back to pass. And they rush, and they're about to, you know, get him, about to sack him, and he jukes up and breaks to the outside and runs down their sideline and runs out of bounds, and then we had time, you know, there was I guess 3 or 4 seconds left, whatever. If he doesn't get out of bounds, the game's over. You know, we plug going to overtime, and then of course Nick goes out there, and I mean, I've got a picture behind my desk of the ball. Somebody was
up there. Mickey Gant who took the picture.
Is that who it was?
Yeah.
And it's got the ball coming right through the uprights, you know.
Yep.
And just another improbable one. You know, one of those that, you know, the reason I love the kids here because, hey, they wouldn't – our boys wouldn't playing for overtime. They was going to go and get it settled right then. And so that's what they did. And, you know, just players making plays.
We've spent a long time, so we're going to let you go. But, golly, we could go all day on this. One thing that's eluded Tallahassee has been a state championship. We, you know, obviously had a long winning streak in the 1940s. They didn't have playoffs then.
They'd have won a bunch of them then. When Coach O'Brien coached, if they'd had state championships,
sure,
there'd have been a bunch of them.
There's no doubt. What would that be like if we could have that here while you're here?
You know, it's something that I think about all the time. I look at missed opportunities that I've had as a player and as a coach. You know, but when you go down through, one team's going to win it. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
One.
Yeah.
And so you start, I guess, as you go through your career, you start eliminating the things that can keep you from doing it. And you try to make sure that you cover all the things that you have to have so that when you have that 1 year, when you have that group of kids, you have the bunch that can do it. A lot of times the team that wins the state championship is not the best football team in the state. It is the best football team for those 5 weeks of the playoffs. Doesn't necessarily be, because I played against the 1985 Gadsden Tigers when Vince DiLorenzo was the head coach. They finished the regular season 4-6. And then they won the state championship 5-0. We beat them 21-3, and they got one first down in the entire game. And they won the 5A state championship because they weren't the best team during the 10 regular season games. But they got hot. They beat a powerhouse Gardendale with Willie Wyatt in the second round and Terry Langston. And then they just got hot at the right time. So, you know, it's when you do have that bunch, you try to think of all the things you need to make sure, the motivation, the complacency, all those things right there. But, yes, I don't think there's a coach in the state of Alabama that doesn't wake up every morning thinking about winning that state championship. And look, my dad won two, 36 years apart. Hmm. I can promise you those 35 years in between, every morning he got up thinking about the next one. You know, so, you know, that's just how it is. If that's not, you know, if that's not your ultimate goal, then you probably need to, you know, find something else to do. It's not going to happen all the time, you know, but that's part of it. You know, that I think that's the driving force. You know, that's why you've got to set different goals with your team. Every team, you know, starts the year off, hey, we're going to win the state championship. Well, one team is, yeah. but we want to have a winning record. We want to win the region championship. We want to get to the playoffs. And then from there, it's a whole new season. All you got to do is get hot and have some good players. And, you know, hopefully somewhere down the line, I would, you know, like to be a part of it.
Be nice to do it this year. We hope we get to play, and it's been fun talking about these years with you, Coach.
Well, I'm going to leave you with this. I told Coach Johnson over at Real Town, I said, man, I don't know how it's going to work out, but if me and you are standing out on that field August 20th, I'm going to come and give you a big old hug. I mean, I really am, because I just, you know, him and I are good friends. You know, we'll be competitors for one game a year, but we're good friends. We stay in touch. We talk a lot, you know, about what's going on and how we're handling it. But I just told him, I said, man, if I can just get on that 50-yard line with a crowd out there and the bands and the cheerleaders and everybody, I'm just going to hug your neck, and then we'll try to duke it out there for four quarters. But, you know, I'll be as happy as I can be.
Our fingers are crossed that happens. We appreciate your time, Coach. Thanks so much.
Thank y'all.
It's been
y'all
fun.
Have a good day.
You too. Coach Mike Battles, great stuff there, talking about Tallahassee Tigers football and more. Hoping to kick off on August 20th versus Real Town, the 100th season of Tallahassee Tigers football.